Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So the element of the philosophy that's important here in the material world, because not understanding the philosophy, we position ourselves as the Supreme Lord. So therefore the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Enjoyer, it's all about us. Now in theory it's great if there was only one of us. Right? And of course, according to some Mayavad philosophy, there is only one of us, and everybody else is the dream of that one person, but they still haven't identified who that one person is, because it still seems to be going on. Otherwise, it would have finished a long time ago. But in any case, because there's so many, then you have the problem that how does this all work together? Right? How does this fit? Because you can't have more than one center and have everything balance properly, right? So that's the difficulty, is that our philosophy fails because we can't be the center. Only Krishna can be the center. Because Krishna can be the center and at the same time expand and be with everybody and involved with everybody. So only he can do that. We can't. We're one person and we remain the one person. It doesn't matter how much we expand our influence, we're still only one person. Right? So then, because in the spiritual world, then they don't have that problem. So though they know the philosophy, it's not the prominence. The prominence is the relationship, the interaction, the rasa. So this rasa then becomes the prominent aspect, because it's all about the living entity and their relationship, their specific relationship with the Lord. And then how to cooperate with the others in connection with that. So because the Lord is the center of each person's life, even though they're individuals, they can still function as individuals and at the same time, you know, and maintain that uniqueness and at the same time be able to cooperate together, because that's the same common point of interest. So this is something very dynamic, something that people don't consider. We want to create this idea of unity and cooperation and community, but that can only happen if there's one center, right? And because that one center is unlimited, therefore there can be unlimited variety in how we expand. Right? Now if we're the center, then the problem comes down is we can only relate to those in our conditioning. If it's outside our conditioning, we cannot relate to it. So depending upon how broad or narrow is someone's conditioning, that's the range of their view or their worldview. And so you don't have variety. You can't accommodate variety other than the variety that you like. Right? If it's something you like, then it's great. And you can't understand why no one else likes it. And if it's different, and if someone else is different, then that's stupid. Why would they do that? Does that make sense? So the principle that, yes, it's based on the central focus, and it's their interest, their will, that's correct. But the problem is we don't have the capacity to be that central feature. Right? It's too narrow. We're too small. But Krishna, he's unlimited. Therefore, as much as there is variety, he has a way to accommodate and to interact with that. So he can accommodate. So the only way to create community is if there's one center and it's Krishna, then you can accommodate the variety of individuals that are there. But if you don't make Krishna the center, then there's no ability to accommodate. Does that make sense? So that's how you can tell tell whether Krishna is the center or not, how much it can accommodate. That doesn't mean compromise. That means there's a difference between accommodate and compromise. Accommodate means you're able to adjust with these others because you have a way of dealing. Like Prabhupada, wherever he went on the planet, he could adjust with anybody. But he never compromised his position. Right? But for us, much of the time, to adjust with somebody means we adjust our position. We compromise. It's quite different. Because when Krishna is the center, you don't have the problem. Because Krishna is the standard. Right? So therefore, the spiritual world, you don't have this need of the technical aspect. So it's all about the rasa relationship. So because everyone's focused on Krishna in relationship, therefore, then it can be about how each individual cooperates together and serves Krishna. So now it comes in the element of the variety. Because you're dealing with unlimited living entities, you're also dealing with a lot of variety, unlimited variety. But as we see, rasa is basically categorized into two major areas, that of sweetness and that of majesty. So, sweetness means it has that spontaneous element that it's just about the person that you're dealing with. There's nothing in between. There's no intellectual process between seeing the person and that inspiration. And there's no need of any intellectual process to express it. So that's one flavor. The other flavor is that you apply that the situation is very important in expressing that love. So you like to see the Lord in a particular situation, and you like to express through those particular situations. So the situation becomes more prominent. Does that make sense? Like that. It becomes more formal. So you can see is that if you take it a step further, then it becomes what you have here. It's just about the situation. It's not actually about the relationship. Right? You want to create the proper situations, but it's if you get the situations right, then you'll say it's perfect. But it's no, if the interaction between individuals works properly, then that's perfect. And that can only happen, as we discussed in the beginning, if Krishna is the center. Otherwise, what's the commonality between us? Right? Does that make sense? People in the same village who've never left their village can't get along. Let alone if you're from a different village. You know what I'm saying? So that's why one notices how many close friends do you have? I mean, really close. You can sit, you can talk, you can reveal your mind and everything like this. And I'm not doing this so that anybody feels bad and becomes depressed. We're talking, you have one, two, three people like that? You're doing good. Right? There's quotes from great personalities. If you have one person like that, you're doing good. Let alone if you have a few more. So that's the point. The conditioning's so different. The only way that you can make it all work is if there's the commonality of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there is no common material nature that's going to bring everyone together. There isn't. If there was, there's so many smart people in the world, they would have found it by now. But they haven't. Why not? Because it's not there. Just like happiness. Happiness would have been found, but it hasn't been. Why? Because it's not there. Right? So that means only when Krishna is the center. Right? So now, in doing this, we can see is that the situation is supportive. But it's just a matter of sweetness, it's less important. And in majesty, it's more important. Because how do you get majesty unless the situation is majestic? So in other words, you're recognizing the element of God. Right? Then you have sweetness means it's just about the person. He can be God or not. That's his own business. Right? You know, just like the mother and the son. The son can be the prime minister or not. It doesn't matter. He's still the son. Does that make sense? It doesn't get in the way. But now, down at the place where the prime minister sits, it's all about the big halls and the rooms and the protocol and everything like that. People like that. Does that make sense? Okay. Then you get down to the last level of Brahman, where it's impersonal. It's just about the qualities of Brahman, but it's not specifically about relationship with Brahman. So that's what everyone functions on here in the material world. But not knowing they're functioning on the Brahman platform, they're an illusion, so they're in ignorance. Right? So these are the three platforms you can relate to the Lord: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Paramatma meaning God. So then Braj or Gokul means the sweetness, so that's purely Bhagavan. Right? Vaikuntha means it's Bhagavan, but there's that element of God. And in the material world, then you're dealing with Brahman, and then on a good day, then people acknowledge that God exists. But as we see, is it doesn't get really personal. Right? So unless you've come from a Vaishnava background, right, a practicing bona fide sampradayic Vaishnava background, you will have never had bumped into anybody or experienced the concept that God's a person fully. Because in world religions, he's a person. What does he look like? Oh, he has no form. Right? And if we're dealing with in India, okay, we have the Shastras, everything, but if you're smarter than that, he's a person, but that's only as long as until you realize Brahman, and then he's no longer a person, and neither are we. In a sense, so the God element is added here, that's on a good day. But otherwise, it's just Brahman. So we're being introduced to something new, that's why it's so unique. That's one, it's so attractive and natural, but at the same time, the culture of it, that's so different because we've never lived like that before in the whole time we've been in the material world. Coming into Krishna consciousness, this is the new, this is real culture, this is personal. Everything we've done before, this has always been impersonal. It's just whether we include others in our impersonalism or not. That's all. So, then making this distinction, then there's great, it's perfect, right? But then when you add in more of the sweetness, less of the majesty, it's more perfect. And then it's just the sweetness, it's the most perfect. So Krishna takes these moods, and so he has unlimited expansions to deal with all the devotees that are in all the variety of these moods throughout the cosmos. Right? This way you get his incarnation. At the same time, you get his expansions and his internal potency. Because where he is, his internal potency is automatically there. So generally we just talk about him, but it means the internal potency is there. Right? Does that make sense? So, then in this, then we see is that you're going to have two aspects. Now if you're discussing about majesty, then it's about rules and regulations, about everything working exactly the way it's supposed to work. There's that sense of that superiority, my belonging to that superior person. Does this make sense? That's the flavor of majesty. Well, the sweetness, it's more about it's so nice, it belongs to me, it's mine. Does that make sense? There's a difference in flavor. So the intimacy, the informality becomes greater. So both of them are, as we said, they're both valid positions. It's just a matter of the taste. So we see when sweetness, then this sense of possession is the prominent. But in the majesty, then belonging to is the prominence. Therefore, the significance of Rukmini Devi. She's the lead in I belong to Krishna. Right? She's the perfection of I belong to Krishna. And so that's different. So in Braj, she's not the lead. She's the second. Because the lead is Krishna belongs to us. Right? That's the prominence. So that's why in Braj you don't hear much about this position. In fact, we generally avoid this position. Right? But when it comes to Dwarka, then this becomes the position. So it's not just the person. We have a problem with Rukmini. It's She's fine. She's number two. You can't get better than that. In the cosmos, she's number two. That's good, right? Yeah, so the idea is, though, but it's not the way we view, because in this, you're going to have to follow behind, you know, whoever's number one. Right? So in Braj, that means Radharani. But in it, where it's in Goloka, or in where it's majesty, then it'll be Rukmini. Right? So we see the prominence in the pastimes are Rukmini. Though Satyabhama adds very interesting elements, right? All the very unique differences that happen in Dwarka is all coming from Satyabhama, because that's the left side. That's that mood of Radharani, though in that environment of majesty. So therefore, what she does is quite unique. But she's not the prominent queen. The prominent queen is Rukmini. So that's her greatness, is that she is the embodiment of this element of, I belong to Krishna. And then how that's done nicely, and so it takes on its greatest fullness when you add in majesty, you add in all the rules, because that's where it shines. Right? Then in Braj, where it's sweetness, then naturally the sense of ownership, that's what shines. Now in dealing with this, we can see is that it's about the mood of the Lord and the devotees. So then when that comes into the material world, basically everyone here, means you, one comes, one qualifies to come to the material world because one's not really interested in one's relationship with Krishna. If one was interested, you wouldn't be qualified to come here. Right? We're sorry. You'd have to stay in the spiritual world, right? But because one has the outstanding character of not caring about Krishna, then one has the qualification to get into this place, right? So because of that, then one lives one's life centered about oneself. And if one... And so, as we discussed before, that creates a problem. So therefore, the material world is always a problem. So not only are the people the problem, but the situations also are a problem. The only difference is we consider the things a little bit better because they don't talk. Right? They break. Your car breaks. But you can spend all day fixing it and it doesn't complain. It doesn't say, you know, why do you use that wrench? That's stupid. Why would you pick up that wrench? You picked up that wrench last time, and it didn't work nice, and now you're picking it up again? Are you an idiot? What's going on here? Right? So it doesn't do that. So you can pick up the wrong wrench. You can, you know, use it on the nuts. You can strip them. You can do whatever you want, and they don't complain. You just have to, you know, get in something else, go down, buy some more, bring it back, and fix it. Right? So... we had this difficulty, we go through this, now we're adding in Krishna. And so adding in Krishna, that's the perfection. That's what makes the devotees special. So now you're dealing with not just maintaining the material world, because material world is only maintenance. But in devotional service, then the Bhagavatam defines what's known as nourishment. Right? There's no nourishment. What are you nourishing? Right? Dead matter doesn't need nourishing. You have a brick in your house, does it need nourishing? No. Nourishing means relationships. So that's only when you're connected to Krishna. Otherwise, relationships out of Krishna consciousness, it's just dead matter to dead matter. That's all. It's like a permanent Halloween or something. Everyone's dressed up in costumes and we interact with the costume. Right? You know, whoever's, you know, how they're dressed, we talk, we deal like that. But so there's no real nourishment because the costume doesn't need nourishment. But when you get with devotees, then nourishment is there because you're dealing with the living entity. You're actually dealing with the soul. So here is we're dealing. So we may say, oh, but the karmas are so much easier. That's because you're dealing with dead matter. You're not dealing with living entities there. You're dealing with the modes of nature. The modes of nature make them do and act the way they are. The soul's doing nothing. It's just sitting back and watching. But with devotees, you're actually dealing with the soul. and the soul is having to make that jump between that material and the spiritual, of functioning in the impersonal and functioning in the personal. So therefore, it takes some time, practice. So in any case, whatever the stage, one is practicing, or you know, one is, has developed something in the practice, or one's perfected that practice, or come to the platform of love of God. But in any case, you're dealing with people who are going to deal on the impersonal platform. They may be nice impersonalists, or they may be not nice impersonalists. I mean, so you go to play, you know, you go to Varanasi, you'll meet really nice materialists. I mean, impersonalists. But you also meet really nasty, really smart kind of guys like that. You know, and then downright just, you know, funky characters that aren't even sampradaya. But whatever it is you have a variety of impersonalism. So then, because of that, then the Lord comes as Nisringadev to protect the devotees so that they're nourished from the influence of the material energy as delivered by the living entities who are not God conscious. Does this make sense? So this is what's happening. Because in the spiritual world, he doesn't have to take on these kind of elements because people are already attracted. Here he comes and does it. So not only is he protecting, but he does it in a way that's very attractive. Because of all the avatars, it's one of the more attractive avatars. I mean, every sampradaya of all means you don't. They all have Nisringa deities. You don't necessarily hear of them having Matsya deities or Kurma deities. Some do, but generally not. You know, Parasaram deities. You know, but Nisringa, everybody has, right? Because he's Bhaktivatsala, he's caring about the devotees. That's his specialness. His ferociousness is for the materialist, but for the devotee, it's nice. It probably gives the example of the cat. Is the cat is very kind to the kittens. Though same mouse, same teeth, they're picking up the kitten. But for the rat, then the same mouse, same teeth is death personified. Right? So that's Nisringadev. He comes, he protects the devotees, you know, both from, you know, the external energy, and that includes the external energy that we still have attachment to. Right? So we still give our own selves difficulty, and Lord Nisringadev protects us even from that. You know. Yeah, so that's the specialness there. Any questions or comments on this? Or? No, yes. Yes. That thing magic there. Maybe it's not turned on because they don't expect it to end here. Okay, go ahead.
I read yesterday.
You read yesterday. He became so surrendered of a devotee.
Yes, because of the fast life,
yes.
So, but I hear also that only fasting comes, so he gets because he sees this fasting problem, or is maybe because my other negotiation.
Okay, so you're saying from last life, how did he become a devotee? Because bhakti only comes from bhakti. See, is bhakti, because it can only come from bhakti, that means how do you get it unless you do it? But unless you know about it, how can you do it? And if you don't, but how do you know about it is bhakti unless you've done bhakti? You know what I'm saying? Because it's, we suffer under the illusion that by my intelligence I can figure things out. Right? This is common. Anybody who has half a brain, then they always feel that I can work everything out. And then the guys that actually have a brain, then they're really trouble. Right? So then, the difficulty comes up is that I feel that because I understand bhakti. Therefore, I can do it. But the reality is you can't understand bhakti, because bhakti is none different than Krishna, without his grace. So there's no question of intellectual getting. And it's not because you've done an activity, a pious activity, right? So therefore, there has to be what's in between. It's called agyata sukriti, right? Unknown piety. See? Why bring this up? But then, let us say we're doing, this would be a bit of a tangent here, where we are doing an activity, okay? I want to get rich, okay? So I make an endeavor, I get money. But if my interest is only to get rich, when I get money, then it becomes part of my field of activities. So now I can invest more to get my goal of becoming rich. You understand? I'll never get rich. Why? Because however much I have, I could get more. Right? So what's this based on? So the ultimate goal is lust. Right? Because even people who can get money and consider themselves rich, it's because they're getting money is just the field for something else, for enjoying themselves or position or power or influence. That's why those people are wealthy, and the other people, even though they have money, aren't called wealthy. Does that make sense? Because that's why you have wealthy and then you have nouveau riche. Because nouveau riche is not that you just got money, it's your attitude. Right? You're new rich because it's your identity that I'm rich. The rich people, it's not the identity that I'm rich. That's just normal. It's just like, yeah, I breathe. Hey, Prabhu, I breathe. Yeah, so, hey, you don't appreciate I breathe? What's wrong? You understand? That's the problem. So that's a nouveau riche. Right? So the goal they can never get, and their purpose of getting it is simply just lust to have money. And they can't even apply that lust and get any benefits. So that's really stupid. Right? Now on the other side is that you're going to perform an activity that result is going to be to please Krishna. So it's based on love. So when it comes to goal, your goals can fall into two categories. That its end result is love for Krishna, or its end result is lust. Does that make sense? Okay. So now, love, then you have, as we mentioned before, that in majesty and that in sweetness. Now in the material world, when we're talking about lust, then you have basically two kinds. You have pious lust and impious lust. So what we call pious activities in the material world, being nice, being good, giving in charity, and all that, that's nice lust. That's good lust. But it's still lust, because your purpose is your own position. Right? Then there's not nice lust, which means you don't follow the rules. You understand? So it's the reverse of the spiritual world. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So now, here is that why it says karma, because what it's meaning is those activities of nice lust aren't going to get you bhakti. Not nice lust is definitely not going to get you any bhakti, because it's not even a field you'd want to use. But we generally take it that nice lust is spiritual. This is also another of our diseases, besides thinking I'm so intelligent and understand everything, is that if it's nice, it's spiritual. No, nice is engaged in the Lord's service. That's called spiritual. Right? Nice is just nice. But it's based on lust. You understand? So when we say bhakti is independent of karma and jnana, it means our intelligence can't figure it out and our pious activities can't get it. So that means it has to be unknown. When you're getting it, means it's by the grace of bhakti only that's come from devotees and coming from the Lord. Does that make sense? So there's no other way. We think, yes, I was so qualified, I was looking for the absolute, that's why I came in touch with Krishna consciousness. So many people come in touch, but who becomes a devotee? Yes, you can say, I came in touch because of that, maybe. But that one took up devotional service, that's only by the Lord's grace. Nothing else. It's not that, yes, I'm so qualified, that's why I'm a devotee. Right? Because you don't really consider qualification after taking unlimited bursts and then finally you get it together, right? You know, somebody comes in to try out, so you're having tryouts for something, okay? People come in and they show their skill. How many times do you give them? Right? Like that. So you can't consider unlimited lifetimes that, yes, see, now I'm qualified. That's stupid. So it means it's only by the Lord's grace. Does that make sense? Okay. So that would mean then, where is the grace coming here? Sri Prahlad Maharaj, in his previous life, he's going out into the forest, and there's a Nisringa temple. Why is there a Nisringa temple? One, it's the Lord's mercy, and two, some devotees built it. Why do they build temples? Why build a temple? Why are we building this temple here? Just we have to build. Build we must. You know, yes, we have to, you know, it's just, it's there. I have to build something, you know. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, Ambarish Prabhu is just sitting there, and when no one's looking, gets out his Legos and starts building, because, you know. You understand? No, it's doing because when you have it, people will come, and unknowingly, they will do devotional service. Why are people going to come and see this building? There are so many temples in India. So many, but why are they going to come and see this one? Because of the pure, unalloyed devotion practiced by the inhabitants here, and is coming in the Garanga line, and is connected to Braj Vrindavan, and you get what has never been given before. You know that the love for Radha and Krishna in spontaneous devotional service in Braj, is that why these local villagers are coming in their buses? No, because it's big, it's monstrous. That's why they're coming. And there's also, you throw in, as you know, extra added, there's white people, right? You know, so hey, you know, it's win-win. So now, what are they getting? So why are they coming here? Come pure devotion? It's because of Agyata Sukriti. They came here for some mundane purpose. And having come here, the Lord and the devotees tricked them into doing devotional service. You understand? That's why you have a temple. So therefore, someone built that temple by Nrisimhadev's grace. And so you already have the Lord's grace and the devotee's grace. So now him coming there and cleaning that temple, and especially on Nrisimhadev's day, and fasting. So that's all Agyata Sukriti. That's powerful. It's devotional service. So it's still by the Lord's grace and the devotee's grace. It's not that it happened, just happened on its own. It's not because he fasted or that he cleaned. It's because he fasted and cleaned, connected to Lord Nrisimhadev, though he didn't know it. Does that make sense? So the power of devotional service we underestimate. Right? That's something. She owns Krishna. No, there's a sense of possession. No, owns is the way of relationship. Radharani owns Krishna's relationship, not by tattva. Krishna owns the internal potency by tattva. How does it filter down to us? Okay, so we're dealing with the element of culture here. So when can we have that element of possession, and we're dealing with the spiritual master? See, how is that done? Now, that possession, how is that possession there? Okay, possession is there in Mother Yashoda, Krishna is hers, okay? But how does she express it? Through parental rasa, because that's the relationship. How do the cowherd boys express it? right, through the friendship. How do the servants in Mother Jashoda's house express it? Through the service. How about the cows? All right, so the gopis, they have another. So one has to distinguish between all these. So therefore, what's the relationship with the spiritual master? And that defines the how that sense of possession is expressed. So therefore, when we're dealing in these elements, then the cultural position it starts from is the formality. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Right there. Something else? No? Yes. Majesty.
Majesty. And then you were speaking about the situation and the relationship. So, when Radharani went to see Krishna in Kurukshetra, she wasn't pleased.
Radharani goes to see Krishna in
Kurukshetra.
Kurukshetra. She's not pleased. Why do you say she's not pleased? But the point is the situation, see, is in here is, okay, so the question is about situation. But you have to understand how much the situation is important. What does the situation do? Okay, now, if you're dealing with situation, it's the situation that's generating the rasa, that's here. I make all the perfect arrangements, then I hope that the proper, or expect that the proper mood will be generated from that. But it also might not be. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty here, is that we're dependent upon the situation. We're saying in Vaikuntha, it is their paraphernalia of worship, just like you want to offer arti, you could get arctic lamb. But the lamp is in support of, but that's a requirement. You know what I'm saying? Because of the formality. We're saying in Braj, then they could be offering, when Krishna comes back from the fields, then you have what's called Niranjana, where it's removing inauspiciousness that might be there due to people seeing in that. You know, people having a feeling that's bad or anything. Then you have, then that Niranjana is there. So that's technically what it's for, but then that's being done just out of affection. So the affection is the prominent, then you use things, right? So you have the masculine and feminine element. So the masculine being the quality that you're looking for, the feminine being the forms and activities, right? But then there's the mechanics of them, and then there is the, the experience of them. You understand? So even though you have in the feminine aspect of the form and the activity that goes with it that generates the quality, there's also the operating the form and activity, and then there's the experience of that operation. You understand? So again, it becomes divided into masculine and feminine. Right, so that means sweetness is the experiential that's the prominent, and Vaikuntha it's the mechanical that's the prominent within the operation. Does that make sense? You see the difference there? So you always have to have situation, because otherwise then, you know, it would be the Hindus would be correct in that you have an Om sign in the sky, you know, nice gray clouds with Radha and Krishna in the middle, you know, the middle goes around them and all that, and then that's perfection. What's the situation? How do you, you know, are we in the sky? I mean, we've heard from authorities that Lucy's there, but we haven't heard that anybody else is. Right, so how are you going to worship them? Right? That makes sense. No? What to do? How you say it? 50 years is a long time. Does that make sense? So we have to distinguish that there's always these subtleties. So whatever you're dealing with, you have to see is there's always the masculine and feminine aspect. So it's just a matter of when sweetness, the feminine becomes more prominent. And in the majesty, the masculine becomes more prominent. Just like it's about Radharani. In Vaikuntha, Lakshmi is there. Everybody's serving the Lord through Lakshmi. But she's basically just sitting there. You ever heard of it in any pastimes? Lakshmi and Ryan sit there. They receive the devotees, they interact. So Rasa is there and the devotees are happy, they're satisfied, but you don't see a prominence of Lakshmi. It's Narayan has Lakshmi. He's so great, he has Lakshmi. But in Braj, Krishna's so great, he's surrendered to Lakshmi. That's the uniqueness. That's where the difference in the sampradayas come. So they can appreciate the pastime, but that element of surrender and all that, it becomes hard to digest for other sampradayas. Which is fine, because they're in majesty. They don't need to digest. Does that make sense? Yeah. Something else? Yes. Who to pray to. Okay, so you don't know who to pray to, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, or Narsimhadev, because each one is special and unique and everything like that. So in that way, you could follow the, you know, the local tradition and pray to all of them. Like that. So when you're standing in front of Narsimhadev, pray to Narsimhadev. When you're standing in front of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you pray to them. Point is, by the grace of Nityananda, you're going to get Lord Chaitanya, right? Because by Nityananda's grace, one's freed from material involvement, right? By Dvaitacharya's, you're freed from the ego that you think, I am the Lord and Master of the creation. And by Nityananda's Prabhu's grace, you give up the material desire, right? Then you can worship Lord Chaitanya. Narsimhadev protects one and also removes all these obstacles. So, but the point is they're all Krishna, right? Because in all of these, then you have what's called, in the incarnations, you have what's called Paravasta. Paravasta means the complete personality of Godhead. It means all the 64 qualities. But only Krishna manifests all of them. But Narsimhadev, Balaram, Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya, they have all the qualities, but they don't manifest them. But there's still that same personality. You understand? So you're not dealing with, it's still Krishna. So Krishna has come as Nishinga, Krishna has come as like this. Okay? So just you see the situation, then you do. Yes. Okay, last point. How do we balance? Okay, Prahlad Maharaj has just surrendered to the Lord, protecting, and so we can just do the same. Okay, and then the examples given are, you know, no seat belts, you know, drunk driving and stuff like that. So that's like that. Yeah, I mean, of course, you mean too much Varuni on Balarams when you, and then going out and trying. Like that. Okay, so the guy with the spoon, he has a bowl there, he keeps all the keys and stuff. When the guys come back for too many cups of Varuni, then he takes his keys away and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. So, Okay, impractical. Okay, that could be a term to that. Whimsical, that I don't think would be an appropriate term, because whimsical means you're doing something, and the examples you gave, they're doing nothing. Right? So the idea is, I'll do nothing, Krishna will protect me. But is that what Prahlad Maharaj's mood was? Is that how he was operating it? I'll do nothing, and Krishna will protect me. No, he was surrendered to the Lord, because just, I'll do whatever I want, Krishna will protect me, is not actually surrender. Because the point is that's why I'm saying you can't say it's whimsical, because that's your attitude, that Prahlad Maharaj is whimsical, because it's very specific. Whimsical means just a whim, it doesn't have any logic. So driving without seatbelts, now that's whimsical. And then claiming that Krishna will protect me, I don't have to use seatbelts. Why did God make seatbelts if they weren't supposed to be used? You know, it's just like, why don't we try, Krishna will maintain me, I don't have to breathe. You know, we don't try that, you know, understand? So why are we doing something that's useless? And generally, as the examples you gave, they're all within what we said in the previous discussion of impious lust. So the point is you're supposed to engage pious lust in the Lord's service and then transform that lust into love. Right? So in other words, what is Prahlad Maharaj's duty? He's a child, right? He's 5 years old. He's under the protection of his father. So, you know, he hasn't been trained. He hasn't reached maturity as a kshatriya to fight or anything like that. So therefore, he just surrenders to the Lord. Now, I'm really sure that if there were any seat belts, he would have fastened them before they tossed them off the mountain. You know, but he didn't, because there weren't any. You know, they didn't provide, right? So that was the fault of Hiranyakashipu's assistants, right? They didn't consider all the safety elements, right? So this idea, yes, he will protect, but you have to be doing your duties. So Prahlad Maharaj is performing his duties and surrendering to the Lord. So what's the result of driving without seatbelts? And that result is what you're going to offer to Krishna. That's what I'm saying. How is it pious? I use a seatbelt for protecting myself. That protection is to offer to Krishna. So that in a protected state, I can serve Krishna. Now, whether we'll be protected by those seatbelts, that's another thing. You know, that's another. So that ultimately is, how you say? It's up to the Lord. But that surrender to the Lord means you're doing your best according to your duties to protect yourself. Does that make sense? So then not doing that, that's whimsical. That's a whimsical aspect, is that they're doing something useless. It's an activity. But the idea that surrender, so therefore, because we're not surrendered by, like Prahlad Maharaj, it's not practical in that we don't have that natural spontaneity of just surrendering. We have to go through steps. We have to use the intellect. So therefore, we apply the intellect into our activities and do those activities nicely for Krishna. So we see that we're in a protected environment. Because we can say, is it doesn't matter, but who's making that call? Right? How what's our authority to make that call? I don't wear a seatbelt. Why not? You know, it's no big deal. But what's the big deal about? Is that, what does the seatbelt protect? Does it protect the soul? No, it doesn't even protect the subtle body. It protects the gross body. Who does the gross body belong to? It belongs to Krishna. It doesn't belong to us. We're the soul. That we can claim, yes, I am the soul, I am mine. You know, but other than that, you don't really have a lot to work on. So the gross and subtle body, those are given by Krishna. They're his energies, they work under his modes. So if it's Krishna's, then you have to take care of it. If it's not Krishna's, you don't take care of it. Right? Hence, the temple car is not taken care of. Because it's not actually Krishna's. You understand? So, and private car is taken care of, but it's also not Krishna's. It's mine. That's why I take care of it, right? You know. So now to get to the point of taking care of it because it's Krishna's, now that's special. Right? So if you walk into a temple and the temple car is in good shape, you have some good managers there. You know, that's a Prabhupada, right? There's that one time, Prabhupada went in the whole project and he's going everywhere. He's looking inside toilets. You know? And he went everywhere, and everyone where it was clean. Perfect, right? Then he got to the Lotus building, all floors, got to the roof, is going around, and then just before coming down in one corner, there's a little wadded up piece of paper. And Prabhupada pointed to that. Aha. So your management wasn't, you know, 100%. It was 99.9, right? But you know, that one at that ha, you know, so he found something. So that's how Prabhupada would tell. You know, accounts were the last thing he'd look at. The first thing is you walk in the door. Is there a door? Does the doorknob work? You know, what's it look like when you walk through the door? Is the door nicely varnished or painted? What does it look like when you walk through the door? That's how you tell how a temple's managed. And then you can confirm that by looking at the accounts. But you think that, oh, looking at the accounts is the only way you can tell. You don't know how to manage. Management is managing people and how they behave, how they live. You're managing lifestyle. That means you have to have one. Sorry to say, but it's a small detail, right? Like that. So that's the real thing. So that's the whole thing, is that it belongs to Krishna. So the body belongs to Krishna. Right? And you also have the effect on the subtle body, right? You know, how you say, head-on collisions aren't exactly give that sense of security to the subtle body, right? You know, so therefore, anytime anybody walks straight towards you too close, then you may get spooked. So it does have an effect, but it has the major effect on the gross body. You know what I'm saying? So it's Krishna, so that's why we take care. We do the best. Then beyond that, you know. You know, it's like you're driving your car, you got your seatbelts on, you're following the things, you're in your lane, you got the space between you and the car in front of you, and there's an earthquake, and the, you know, Golden State, you know, bridge goes down. There's not a whole lot you can do about that. You know, that's up to Krishna.
What about when a large food was poisoned, and you offered it to Krishna, now with this intense faith,
I don't really think he knew it was poisoned. Right? Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have been hungry. But he offered it to Krishna. So, in other words, you offer it to Krishna, then prasad's not poison. So, the poison doesn't have the effect. We have to have a poison has effect because we understand it will have effect. Like Prabhupada mentions about Narad Muni. Narad Muni is not stuck walking around here. He can fly in the space because he doesn't think he's stuck here. We think I'm stuck here. We're conditioned. You know, it's just like you have the elephant on a rope tied up. Now, when they were small, you tied the rope, it would hold them. So they get conditioned that ropes hold them. You can use the same rope when they're bigger. They could easily break it, but they don't, because they think, I can't. Right? So that's the whole thing, is he's not conditioned. So he's looking at prasad and that aspect, the spiritual. We're looking at, you know, the vitamins and this and that, and worried about, you know, what it's got in it and all that, and that makes it prasad. In other words, if it's organic, it's prasad. If it's not organic, it can't be prasad. And you couldn't go back to Godhead if you ate such things. And sad to say, these are real conversations. You know, but that has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with reality, you know. The point is you're following, it means the point is it comes from Krishna, it's by Krishna's grace. Organic just is the way Krishna made it. There's not supposed to be synthetic, right? Organic was, you know, before the 40s, there was only organic. There wasn't anything else. So that means, you know, for, it's been a long time, people have been eating organic. But we don't see, if that was true, you know, how come Abraham Lincoln didn't become a devotee? You know, Caesar, you know, I mean, you can go on. The list is huge. And they were all eating organic, and they did not, there's a good chance that the cheese that Hitler was eating was also organic. You know, because there just wasn't any chemicals. You know, saying so the whole thing, it goes on, you can go on and on and on, but it didn't make anyone a devotee. So somehow or another, it has nothing to do with pure devotional service. So that's the thing, he's not looking at, he's just looking at the element that is connected to Krishna. And eating with that faith, therefore Krishna protected him. That's called poshanam. So Krishna stepped in personally and took care. But he doesn't know it's poisoned. The trick of poisoning is people shouldn't know it's poisoned. Because if they know it's poisoned, somehow or another they become, why, I don't know, reluctant, you know, to eat. You know, and as a kid, it's not his business to take care of the poison. Right? He's a kid. His father's supposed to take care of that. When they bring the food to offer to the king himself is supposed to apply all the anecdotes and everything to poison to it, to have it checked and everything like that, and to have his people. That's the father's business, not the kid's business. So it's the kshatriya's business to check that. He's the kid. So his duty is to offer it to Krishna and eat. Does that make sense? So we still have to know is where our duties are is what we have to apply. Problem is because it's what I think is my duties, that's the problem. Rather than this is what is defined, therefore I use my intelligence how to apply that. Is that okay? Does that work? Okay. Oops, we're over time. Gotta go. Okay, chai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Nishingadeva ki. Premanandi Hari Bhagavatam.